Insurers estimate that between 80 and 90% of us engage in some form of road rage, and that can result in serious injury, even death. Whether it's lifting of a finger or tailgating and yelling obscenities, road rage, sadly, very common, also highly dangerous. Anthony Bonici shares a common brain blinker when it comes to driving on our roads, and he's going to show us tonight how we can make a lasting positive impact on this bad behaviour. Anthony Bonici is with me tonight, international speaker, author of Brain Blinkers. Welcome tonight, Anthony.
Thanks very much, Walter.
How can we put on the brain blinkers when we're furious? Road rage has kicked in, Anthony. Come on.
It is. It's a very common occurrence. And I, like you probably too, Walter, and just about all of your listeners have experienced it to some degree at some stage in their life. It's an extremely common occurrence.
Too common.
Too common indeed. And as the NRMA, AAMI, all of the insurers, they all do their surveys every year, and it works out that the vast majority of us are doing it to some extent. And unfortunately, as I see here in Sydney most certainly, and no doubt up in Brizzy, Mackay, and any city within Australia, people undergo serious stress and sometimes even death from this. It's just ludicrous. And I think we need to have a really good discussion.
We are stressing out more behind the wheel, aren't we, as motorists?
Yeah. And there's reasons for it. And when you look at the research, there's a whole gamut of stuff that comes to mind. The first and probably the most logical part of it is that when we're in a car, we think of it as our own territory. It's like an extension of our house.
Yep.
So any contravention of our orders, of our rules and regulations, I guess, if we're in our house.
Our space
that's got four wheels and, with hundreds of thousands of other people on the road, then anything that happens to us, what happens is, and I guess it's very primal as well, we think that's an invasion of our person or our being or our tribe, especially when we have a family there. So there's pretty strong psychological roots there that says, some of the reason, it doesn't make it right. It just sort of explains why we tend to take this stuff so incredibly personally. And that's more than half the issue, I think.
We do. I know you discuss all the things that are holding us back in your Brain Blinkers book, team performance and all of that, and targets and everything. But let's just focus on the road tonight.
Yeah.
So if we, just like horses, have blinkers on them,
that's right.
We've got to sort of come up with that same sort of brain blinker thing, do we? Instead of taking the blinkers away in this case, we're putting the blinkers on, aren't we?
In fact, Walter, what we're trying to do, we've got brain blinkers that have been put on pretty early in life. So these blinkers help guide us through life, right? They help us focus on stuff. But quite often, we're a product of our parents. We know this, and the people around us, we're a product of our environment. So by age seven, Walter, most of us have got what we hold true about the world firmly implanted in our brain by age seven.
Right. So they are the formative years, aren't they?
100%. 0 to 7 is that really formative period where the brain is developing, still developing way into the late 20s. But up to 7 years of age, what you hold true about the world, and this is the important bit, what you hold true about the world pretty much stands you for the rest of your life. Okay, so it stays in your brain. So if your father or mother, you would yell at the guy who's just cut him off or give them the bird or whatever it may be, or tailgate, that behaviour subconsciously imprints into your brain, so that, not that we can blame our parents for everything in the world, but it provides a bit of a basis for our behaviour.
Yeah.
So the idea is just to remove the brain blinkers, getting back to what you said originally.
Yeah.
So these blinkers have been put up, they're there to protect us a little bit, to guide us how to act in life. But if we want to get rid of road rage, and goodness, we need it to happen, we need to remove these brain blinkers.
What are the three key brain blinkers?
Well, the three key brain blinkers we've got are limiting beliefs, and that's going to be the heart of what I think happens in road rage. Then there's a second one that are self-sabotage techniques. The self-sabotage, we'll get into that. And the third one is fear. Now, fear does play a little bit of a role in road rage, and so does some self-sabotage techniques. But the biggest one are the limiting beliefs. So An example of a limiting belief might be, you know, I can't do X, Y, and Z. So a lot of people tell me, when I've spoken around the world and I coach people right around the world, helping them improve what they do, and road rage tends to be something that I see, not just in Australia, but it's right around the world. It's culturally diverse, but it's very, very common in every nation and every city around the world. And when we come back to it, it always comes, to me anyway, to come down to a simple fundamental belief that someone holds. And it's not necessarily that they are better than anyone else on the road. It really does come down, and I investigated my own thoughts on this too, because I used to be a shocking road rager. When I say road rager, I get really upset with people on the road, as no doubt your listeners have been in certain situations. And what it comes down to is a belief, and this takes a little bit to digest, that everyone on the road should drive like me. And that was what I remember thinking, you know, throughout all my years, especially as a young male driver. 18 to 25 is when the most accidents happen for any given group in any country around the world, male 18 to 25. And it's because males at that age tend to think they're bulletproof. And there also is the belief that, hey, if the world would be a better place if they drove like me. So once that belief...
So we want people to mirror our behaviour.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. So when someone, and one of the most common ones, believe it or not, it's not even the cutting off or, you know, going through a red light. It's when people don't wave when you let them in.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying.
Right? It's annoying.
It is. That's just common courtesy.
It is, and this is the point, Walter. You hit the nail on the head. Common courtesy is not common. And this is the one thing I've realised, right? So you and I, Walter, would have been brought up to be polite, to do the right thing by others, respect others' opinions. And therefore, when someone lets me in, I always throw my hand out the window. Yep. Thank you very much, right? And you do too, no doubt.
Yep.
So that's what we've been brought up. That's what, by age seven, that's what we had imprinted on our brain. And it makes sense to us, and it's normal for us. And in our years of living, that's what we do.
It's like when you're a pedestrian and you're crossing and someone stops to let you cross. And I had this happen to me today. You just do a little nod to the people who've at least done the right thing and recognised this is a crossing.
That's right.
And stopped and didn't try to run you over.
And
I'm always thankful of that.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. And yet, no doubt when you've been in the car and done the same thing, you have some people who take their time going across the road and have absolute disregard for the people driving. So here's the point. I wish everyone could be like you and I, Walter. But the point of the matter is that humans simply do not act like each other. We just don't.
No.
And the sooner that everyone realises that everyone in their cars is their own person, yes, there are road rules to keep us all safe, but no one obeys all of the road rules every second of the day. So we don't know everyone's individual circumstances. We don't control other people. So what I've learned and what I teach others these days is to say, hey, if you accept all that we just said then, and you know that people aren't going to drive like you, they're not going to be as courteous as you necessarily. A lot of people are, but not everyone will be. Then your incidence and your level of road rage will go down significantly. And I often use a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being you never get upset with anyone on the road ever, which is pretty few and far between.
Good luck.
And then you get good luck, yeah, that's right, and more credit to you. But then you've got people who are at the 10 who've gotten out of their cars and done really stupid things, and the people you see on the news, right?
Yeah.
Most people aren't a 1 or a 10. Most people, like your standard bell curve, are between 2 and 7 or 8, right? And what it is if you want to change that, and this is the big thing we haven't talked about, Walter, is that this stuff doesn't change just in and of itself.
Oh, no, because this is ingrained, as you say, in the first 7 years of your life.
Yeah, it's got to be it's in your head, and it's not until you, as an individual driver, decide that you want to change it that anything will happen. And that happened for me when my wife kept saying to me, I don't like how you drive. It's too aggressive.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. It's external stimulus. That's what they call it.
Exactly. Look, we'll take a break because there's some calls coming through. We want to ask you questions about road rage and everything tonight too. So we'll get to those in just a moment. Would you stick around, Anthony?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Anthony Bonaccini is with me tonight, the author of Brain Blinker.
Warm, worldly, and wonderfully wicked. Walter Williams. He's all the W's and so much more.
We are talking about road rage and how to tame that road rage and take the rage out of road rage tonight with Anthony Bonici. He is with us, the author of Brain Blinker. He's giving us some tips, limiting beliefs, self-sabotaging and fear. These are things we've got inbuilt into our system. Let's talk to some listeners on 13 13 32 now, and you can also text away, text addicts on 0427 13 13 32. Margaret, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Thanks for calling in from Canberra, listening through 2CC tonight.
Yeah, through 2CC. We've got massive roadworks going on around Mildura Road, which have been going on for a number of years.
Massive roadworks.
Double lane both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you come off the Federal Highway, so I'm rural. You come off Federal Highways and you've got to merge, and then there's a section there where you come onto Mildura Road. And it's merged, and some people stop dead for some reason. They seem to think that the merge means stop. And the amount of times I've seen people almost rear-end people.
Yes, because they're stopping instead of merging.
No, yeah. They stop instead of merging. They stop. Like, it's usually when it works as it should. You got one car than the other. It's like a weave.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You've seen this, Anthony?
Yes. The other day, when you come home from work, you've got two roundabouts. The left-hand lane of the roundabout is for the people that can go straight ahead, so they don't need to slow. Well, they slow down for the roundabout, obviously, but they don't need to stop or give way because it's their own lane.
Yeah.
And the people in the right-hand lane then merge after that. But the amount of people that hit the roundabout in the left lane, and they stop dead.
Well, it sounds, Margaret, like you're going back to exactly what Anthony was talking about earlier, where you have a perfect idea of your driving conditions and what kind of driver you are, and you'd like to see other people follow the road rules like you do. Is that right, Anthony?
100%. And, Margaret, you're spot on the money. This type of thing happens right around the world. It's not just Canberra or Brisbane or Sydney. It is right around the world, where whether the road rules or the road signs are ambiguous or not, people generally have pretty poor clues on how to approach situations that are not normal to them. And like you said, Margaret, they'll be, in the left-hand lane where you've got to go straight. They think they can get into the roundabout and chuck a right with everyone else in the right-hand lane, which is illegal, as we know. But people do it. And I think with what happens with road rage is that, Margaret, people like you and I are sitting in traffic like that and we're in the right lane, doing the right thing, and we see this. And like I'd mentioned before, we take it personally. It's territorial. How dare you do that? The road rules say this. And it's one thing to acknowledge that road rules say you can't do that, but it's another thing to then take it to the nth degree and chastise this person for whatever reason, but mainly for the reason that they've done the wrong thing. So
we've got to let it go a bit, don't we?
Yeah, we do, and it's a control thing. And one thing I teach not only my four children, but certainly the people that I work with right around the world, is to say, figure out what do we actually control in life. Okay, if you want to get really philosophical, on the road, let's look at on the road. What do you control? You actually control nothing except your driving. Whether you're going to wind down the window and yell at someone, you control that. Whether you toot the horn or tailgate, you control that. But you certainly don't control that other person, the other idiot, quite often, and let's be frank, who are breaking the road rules.
Yeah.
And I think what happens with this too, Margaret, is that once you realise that I don't control them, I don't want to control them, I just want to lead my life and get to A to B safely or with my kids whatever it may be. Once that happens and you relinquish control of other people, you actually feel better. You feel better and you do more, and it's a terrific feeling.
Yeah, good feeling. I hope that helps Margaret in Canberra tonight. Darren, tell us your story on the M1.
G'day, Walter. G'day, Anthony. Mine's a bit wussy, but it took it a bit dangerous. We were on the M1. Mum was driving. I was on the passenger side. And there was a wait. We wanted to change lanes, so we merged in the next lane. All of a sudden, the person in front of us decided, well, I'll come to a dead stop when you're doing 110 miles an hour. The car that was behind us thought we'd stop them, not the car in front.
Oh.
Went to the next lane and she threw McDonald's water on the windscreen. And if that had been a fix shake or something, we would have been goners.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I know it's a bit wussy, but...
Yeah, no, no. Some, you're in a 110 zone, someone suddenly brakes.
But, yeah, and the person behind you thinks you brake and not them.
Yeah.
So they yell something.
They yell at you and you're not the instigator of it. It was the one in front of you.
That's right. And it's a
chain effect. Okay, tell us what Darren's doing there. Is he doing the right thing?
He's surviving. Darren's surviving. He's applying the brakes as he needs to avoid colliding with someone in front of them. And ultimately, Darren, I mean, you're doing the right thing by avoiding a collision. And in order to avoid road rage, if we bring it back to that, because road safety, I mean, we could spend another couple of hours.
Well, that's another night. That's another topic.
But for tonight, if we're talking just about our ability to get angry with the person in front of them, Darren, in your situation, your body perceived that it was going to be in severe danger. Mm. So there's a natural reaction there, a primal reaction going back hundreds of thousands of years that says, protect self.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another emotive part of this whole road rage thing here. But again, if once that emotion starts to arise, what I teach people to say, do you control that person? That person who slammed the brakes on in the middle of the highway, 110 k's an hour, no, you don't.
No, unfortunately.
You don't control them, unfortunately.
You just have to deal with those idiots, as you pointed out, Anthony.
Yeah.
One more call for you tonight from Clontarf. Darrell, good evening.
Good evening, chaps. How are you?
Good.
Very well.
Listen, one of the thing that upsets a lot of people is the merging problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, like our Canberra caller.
Yeah, and I really think the Main Roads Department have a lot to answer for how they actually design the roads. And if I can very quickly give you two examples. We've got a new bridge up here at Redcliffe. You approach it from Brisbane, you're travelling in two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
100 yards before the bridge, it opens up to four lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the bridge is three lanes.
Well, that's not confusing much, is it? I've done that bridge.
Two to four to three. Now, so it's just creating a merging problem at the other side.
Yeah.
There's no need for it. And just another one, most roads, single lane roads, you approach a set of lights, all of a sudden there's two lanes at the lights.
Mm.
Everyone gets across and they've got to merge.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's almost like they're just trying to move the traffic quickly across the intersection rather than do it safely.
Yes, maybe the people who design the roads have got to take a bit of responsibility there, Darrell. Thanks for the call from Clontarf tonight. What do you reckon, Anthony?
I'm with you on that. The planning of our roads, there are some roads where you just shake your head and, again, they're all over the place.
Yeah, what the hell were they thinking?
What were they exactly? What were they thinking and how do they expect just an average Joe Blow to look after themselves and the people in their own vehicle, let alone, you know, looking after everyone else on the road? So, yeah, you're right. The call is 100% correct.
Yeah.
The people who plan these things need to have a think about what they want. And what they want is safety.
Exactly.
So if you're telling someone they're going to merge and they're going to do it in 50 metres or 100 metres or 500 metres, then give them plenty of road clues, give them signs, give them painted dots on the road, all of that stuff. So that when they put their blinker on and they're moving over and the guy who's in the current lane sees them, knows that they don't control them, lets them in, everyone gives each other a wave, everyone's happy.
I think this is where New South Wales beats Queensland hands down is signage on the roads.
Really? Okay.
I think New South Wales roads are much better signage than Queensland roads.
Wow.
That's been my experience with the two states.
Yeah, okay. I mean, obviously most of my life has been here in New South Wales. I've driven a fair bit in Queensland. But, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, signage is an issue
for
those in the Sunshine State. I won't go any further than that, but that's just enough said. Anthony, thanks for joining us tonight and helping us learn more about brain blinkers. And I guess if we want to pick up the book, we can go online and do just that at brainblinkers.com.au, isn't it?
Brainblinkers.com, actually.
So .com, all right.
Yeah, that's
the word. And work on our brain blinkers from there. It's a great concept. And thank you for being part of our program tonight.
My pleasure, Walter. It's been great speaking to you.